96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the Reporters Roundtable looking at the top stories of the week, and there are some big ones. More cases of high-profile police shootings of black people. 22-year-old Carrie-Anne Hythen shot in Miami on Sunday. 50-year-old Patrick Harmon shot in the back while running from an arrest in Salt Lake City. Also, ESPN reporter anchor Jemele Hill suspended for her tweets about the NFL protests. We got the Dove soap controversy and Harvey Weinstein. My guests are Nicole Williams, political strategist and Prince George's County Democratic Central Committee member, and Paris Denard, political commentator for CNN and also former director of Black Outreach for President George Bush. Lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Lots to get to. Paris, Nicole, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So let's start with these shootings. We've had Carrie-Anne Hythen shot in Miami on Sunday. She had already been stopped by police after hitting several cars. Then she pulled off again. She struck a police officer. Police officer shot and killed her, and she crashed into another car. Also, Patrick Harmon, I believe it was in August, he was shot in the back while running from an arrest in Salt Lake City. The officer involved in that shooting was cleared. Now, again, he was shot in the back. Officers say he pulled a knife as he was running away. Ladies first, what's going on with the shooting of suspects in the back or shooting them as they run away? Isn't there a better way?
There is a better way. First of all, this man was clearly in the Salt Lake City incident was clearly running away from the police. There is no reason why I can see the need to engage in deadly force. You know, the one officer pulled out his taser gun, I think attempting to tase him. I don't understand why the taser wasn't fully used to basically try to subdue the suspect if he was truly, you know, a suspect. With regards to the incident in Salt Lake, in Florida, very unfortunate. I mean, from my understanding, the young lady was there celebrating her birthday. And, you know, that situation's a little hairy because apparently she did strike a couple of vehicles on her way out. But at the same time, why are we shooting directly with the intent to kill? Why are we not shooting at the tires to stop the vehicle from continuing to move forward and damaging any other vehicles? Like, I don't understand what type of training is going on. And you would think with these body cameras apparently were used in the Salt Lake City case, still these police officers are engaging in the exact same type of behavior. So the body cameras are not enough by themselves. There has to be some type of training with our officers to help them understand that shooting someone every single time is not the answer to dealing with this. It's like being black in America. It's like you don't even want to leave your house anymore. It's just crazy.
Paris, your thoughts about it?
You know, I'd like to first say thank you for having me on the
sure.
program. And certainly the condolences go out to those families, because at the end of the day, there are always victims, and the victims have families, and the victims have friends who have ultimately lost a loved one. No matter what the loved one did, they still have lost a life. What we see here is what I don't want to do is rush to judgment and claim that the officers were wrong or right, or that the victims were somehow wrong or right. What we need to do is stop and let the evidence be collected and let the facts get out before we make proclamations like it's unsafe for blacks to go outside. That's just not true.
But hold on,
No, let me finish.
No, wait a minute. I mean, I wanted to give you just some information, because I think that what you're saying is appropriate for the situation on Sunday in Miami. We don't have all the evidence. That's still under investigation. But the Salt Lake City situation, the police officer was cleared. DA cleared him. That case is closed.
And like I'm saying, there have been, if you go back to other instances where black people have been shot and killed, cases were closed, and then more information comes out later. So mm-hmm. I think that we need to especially be careful in how we make these proclamations and these statements. But the other thing is there's a common denominator that happens that no one really likes to talk about it. And in many cases, the common denominator is running or fleeing from police.
Mm-hmm.
And the young lady, what was tragic, what happened to her. Her own father said that at first he was enraged and upset, but then he stopped and looked at what he was presented and said it was clear that his daughter panicked. And I understand that a lot of times we get fearful because of people in authority. And I've been pulled over. I have been stopped. I have felt that I have been stopped and it's one case handcuffed because for no reason when I was living in South Carolina. And so I understand the fear. I understand the seemingly unjust actions that can be perceived from police officers when you feel you've done nothing wrong. So I get the fear, but some can say the reason why I'm still alive is that I did not run away. I did not have an action that caused the officers to retaliate in a split second decision that could have cost me my life. So there has to be, yes, training 100% on the part of the police force. So we have got to do a better job of educating our children and our millennials on how to react when you are faced in a life or death situation with a police officer, because there's no reason why after all of the series of incidents that have happened and been well publicized in the media that we still have people turning and running away.
But
I think that is one aspect of something that should be enforced a little bit more in our community. We should have these conversations on how to stay safe and interact with police officers.
Hold on. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're at the Reporters Roundtable talking about the top stories of the week. One thing I did want to mention, and, you know, I think, you know, to a point, you know, I think Paris makes a good point, unless your name is Philando Castile. You know, and then, you know, then, you know, there are situations where you do everything right and you still, you know, end up dead. Or as we saw Paris in the D.C. Metro in Haymarket last month, I believe it was. Yeah. Last month, where the 15-year-old had a crowbar and police shot him dead, you know, when he could have been, you know, tased. I mean, you know, everybody's asking, why wasn't he tased? He didn't.
And that's a training issue. I agree 100%. Why wasn't he tased?
But Paris, also going back to, I mean, it's unfortunate that we do have to have these conversations with our children and with one another about how to act when we are pulled over by the police. But on the same token, I think there should be some training for the police officers to understand that when they are pulling over a person of color, there is going to be that immediate fear by that person of color when they're being pulled over by a police officer because of just the history of what has occurred in this country as it relates to interactions between African Americans and the police over years and years and years. And so there needs to be conversations on both sides about how to deal with these types of situations. And so with regard, and I, you know, picking back with regards to the Salt Lake City, the district attorney's office decided not to move forward with even investigating these police officers. And we just saw it today. There was two officers involved with the Freddie Gray incident that were actually reprimanded by the Baltimore City police officer today. And they, you know, so clearly something is going on. And we just need to deal with it on both sides.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jennings, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Jennings. What's on your mind?
Hello. I just wanted to add to what Parrish was saying.
Go ahead.
When the young lady ran in Miami, you know, she was normal. I'm normal.
What do you mean? She was normal, what do you mean?
Well, let me speak for myself.
Okay.
I'm normal. I haven't had any kind of mental evaluation. I don't take any medication. But when these police approach you and it escalates, you become afraid. You don't know what you're going to do. Now you are in fear and you may run. So things tend to escalate very, very fast. I've seen these things myself just being out here in the street.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't say a person shouldn't run, because at that point, we want to live. We don't know what's going to happen.
Well,
All we know is we want to live at this point.
And let's say, you know, Jennings, we still don't know all of the facts in the case in Miami, because as has been reported, as has been seen on the video, before she was stopped, where the video is shown, she had already hit several cars.
And not just her, the man in Utah.
No, I get it, but those. Let me say. These are two different kinds of situations. The difficult thing, so far as we know, we don't know whether or not she was intoxicated. You could hear people saying, witnesses saying, "Oh, she's drunk," you know. And
yeah.
but we don't know whether or not that is the case or not. But then she took off again. So I one could argue that things had already escalated and they were going down when she took off again, and then she hit the police
right.
officer. That's a difficult one. That's a difficult
right.
one, but certainly thank you. But being afraid, I think, and Pavitz just talked about that too. It is a genuine concern. Thank you so much for calling. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk to George. George calling from Maryland. What's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
I completely disagree with what Paris is saying about, I guess, you have to be scared. Like, I'm sure that I don't understand how the police officer is the only one who should be scared in this incident. Because, you know, I know if you're getting approached by someone with a gun, and it's a history of unarmed people of the same color as I am, which is black, getting shot for no apparent reason, then it's like, why should I stay there and give you a free reign to shooting me? Like, we're doing whatever you want to me. Being that anything I say is not going to be held up in court anyway. And in the incident, the young lady in Florida, it just keep on happening to blacks. Like, there's something out there that says anyone black is a threat. So shoot on sight. That's the first. If they turn to run, you shoot them.
And let me piggyback on that, Paris. You know, I think the point that he was saying is, you know, police officers say they feared for their lives. But, you know, the Walter Scott situation in you know, North Charleston, he was running away. To me, if somebody is a threat and they're running in the opposite direction, I become less afraid the farther away they get. The situation in Salt Lake City, officers said they feared for their lives because they say he pulled a knife. They say that a knife was found, but it's hard to see on the video. But he was also running away. So the fear for you, being in fear of your life, sometimes that just doesn't wash, Paris.
Well, I think the important thing is for your listeners to do is actually listen. I did not say that the reason mm-hmm. I did not give a rationale for the shootings as for police fear. What I said was, I understand that in many instances we are afraid.
Uh-huh.
I said I have been in instances where I have been afraid, and I said the woman's down in Florida, her father said, I think she just panicked and got scared. And so what I'm saying is, yes, fear happens. And I think for a whole list of people that are living in our inner cities who have unfortunate experiences that a lot of people that live in suburbs, because not everybody in the black community has had these experiences with police officers. And so if you are in a community where this seems to be a regular occurrence, there is a greater amount of fear on your life. And that fear causes you naturally, yes, to run, naturally to panic, naturally to get away and escape. I get that. But what I'm also saying is, on the part of what our community has to do, trying to find solutions,
mm-hmm.
part of the training, yes, on the part of the officers, community policing is important, criminal justice reform is important, education on how you communicate and how you interact with people, how you approach people, your tone, all of that is important on the what we should do for police officers, on police officers. But when it comes to us, what we also have to do is to go against what we naturally would do, And it is unfortunate that we have to have these conversations, but it's reality.
Okay. Thank you so much, George, for sharing with us. Paris, we're going to lose you. Thank you so much for participating in this conversation. But we are going to continue with the Reporters Roundtable. We've got some really, really big issues coming up. And we want you to hang with us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're at the Reporters Roundtable. If you're on the phone, stay with us. Do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. 141, we are at the Reporters Roundtable talking about the top stories of the week. On deck, we've been talking about the recent high-profile police shootings of black people in St. Louis, as well as Miami, Florida. Also, ESPN reporter Jemele Hill suspended for her tweets about the NFL protests. And also, what on earth was going on with that Dove soap advertisement? Boy, that was controversial. I hadn't seen anything like that since the 19th century, or maybe just a few years ago, huh? How about that? And also, we're going to try to get into the Harvey Weinstein situation, the conversation as well. Right now, I have Nicole Williams, political strategist and Prince George's County Democratic Central Committee member. We're going to have more panelists in just a bit, but I want to get back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Walter, calling from Northeast. Thanks for calling, Walter. What's on your mind?
Hey, good evening, Mr. Fisher.
Hey, how are you?
Guest. Yeah, I think I'm not saying thank God that Mr. Paris is gone, because I listened to him and I thought that Armstrong Williams was the worst human being. He takes Armstrong Williams to the next level.
Okay.
But I want to talk about Ms. Hill.
Okay, Jemele Hill, ESPN, suspended.
Yes.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Go ahead.
I'm like this. If you say anything bad about this president, he turns this thing around, and to use patriotism to racism. To me, you don't call grown men SOBs. And yet, when you're, and I saw a picture, when if you Google Fred Trump's name, you find out that
Trump?
Yeah, Donald Trump's father.
Oh, okay, go ahead, yeah.
And you find out that this guy was a member of the Ku Klux Klan. And there was a picture that the New York Times had that he and his wife, Donald Trump's mother, were wearing the outfit of the Ku Klux Klan. So, like father, like son.
But what is that? But talk to me about Jemele Hill.
Well, it, when she said that he was a white supremacist, and I said, well, I will, you know, because she's a strong black woman, and to me, that's kind of like bully, because if she speak what she was telling, and they given her 2 weeks without pay, to me, that's more of a bully.
Well, see, and let's not get it confused, because Hill was not suspended for that. She was suspended because of what she said about Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, and she was encouraging her Twitter followers to boycott the advertisers that support the Dallas Cowboys.
Right, correct. And so with Jemele Hill, it's, you know, what ESPN done is somewhat kind of sketchy, because they claim that they were doing this pursuant to their policies, yet they have been unable to point which specific section in their policies did she actually violate. And actually, if you look at the ESPN policy, there's one section that actually allows their reporters to discuss political or social issues that or current issues impacting sports. And that's exactly what she did in her tweet. She was talking about a social issue that directly impacts sports by referencing the Dallas Cowboys and talking about the comments of the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. And so I asked ESPN, which section of their policy did she violate to justify this suspension? You know, it's a free country. I understand that she is an employee. So, yes, there's certain things that she has to adhere to. But at the same time, it also seems hypocrisy and that they're, you know, placating to the bullier in chief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And suffice it to say, what she, and you could argue this point, what she has done on Twitter is no worse than what Shannon Sharpe has said vocally. And you know, she had 140 characters. Shannon Sharpe has gone on tirades about Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys and the NFL commissioner and Donald Trump. You can find it 5 minute, 6 minute tirades. Yep. So, you know, I just think it's, you know, ESPN is not being fair. If you're going to let Shannon Sharpe continue his commentary, then you need to leave Jemele Hill alone. But certainly, thank you so much, Walter. We've got Jemele Harris, a reporter for the Afro-American newspaper. Hey, Jemele, how are you?
Hey, Harold. I was just listening. And, you know, it's heartbreaking, troubling, and really a call to action because as a 57-year-old African-American male, I'm looking at Trump that represents kind of what I saw as a child in the 60s. And I see so many talented people like Jemele Hill and this new generation who really didn't see the sting of racism. And to me, it's almost like you're trying to throw a blanket of racism from the 60s over a new generation who's just not taking it. And that's why, to me, I still go back to what Trump's most violent, vitriolous, whatever word it is, nastiness has been thrown at the NFL, call them SOBs, or even a shooter in Las Vegas. He talked to him in soft tones as if it was a mental health crisis, but yet he reserved his nastiness, not for the Russians, but for college-educated African-Americans who are simply trying to taste what America was supposed to be about.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that with Roger Goodell saying, announcing today in a statement that the discussion about whether or not NFL players should lean or kneel, or rather that he believes they should stand during the national anthem, I think is going to continue to exacerbate this conversation. And I think the thing that is so frustrating is that we keep seeing this discussion about the national anthem and the flag, and it's amazing to me that no one outside of the black community and a few other, you know, woke commentators are saying, why are these players kneeling again?
Right, because it has nothing to do with trying to be disrespectful to the flag. It has to do with protesting your outrage about what we were talking about earlier, about cops shooting what perceives to be innocent African-Americans in the community. That's how all of this started. And honestly, if you read what Colin Kaepernick posted, and one of his teammates posted a couple weeks ago, the kneeling started because initially Colin Kaepernick was sitting while they were doing the national anthem. And one of his fellow football players, who was also a veteran, said it's actually more dignified to kneel than it is to sit. And that's where the kneeling started. It's actually more in line with paying homage to the American flag and being respectful to the country to kneel as the anthem is being played. And so all of this commentary, it's just a hoax. It's a hoax by the right wing, you know, segment to get people riled up against, you know, African Americans and other people expressing their First Amendment rights. That's what this country is about.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Jean, calling from Columbia. What's on your mind, Jean?
I wanted to address the issue, the first segment.
Sure, go ahead. Help yourself.
With regards to that gentleman that was speaking. As a black mother, I have sons, and there I stay on my knees just praying that they won't get caught up and get killed by these police officers. These police officers are out to annihilate these black boys. Sooner or later, there won't be any black boys in this country. You know, white mothers, they don't have to talk to their sons about being safe or anything like that. We have to constantly tell our sons, you know, how to be safe, teach them how to be safe. We shouldn't have to do that. They are human beings as well.
Mm-hmm. And our daughters.
As black mothers, we hurt just like any other mother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well said. Thank you so much, Gina. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kirk, calling from Lanham, my hometown. What's up, Kirk? What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? My comment is, well, I want to piggyback on what this caller just said. I was down here on Riverdale Road getting ready to make a left on the 295,
mm-hmm.
and the traffic was backed up. So I decided to make a U-turn. I thought I'd go down here and get on 495, but the police pulled me over and started to give me a ticket for failure to follow a traffic device. And so I asked the officer, I said, so you're telling me I have to get on there, even though 295 is backed up, and there's no sign that says no U-turn.
So what happened, Kirk? I got a lot of folks on the line.
Well, he got indignant with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in fear of my life. But I want to say in this case in Salt Lake City, I mean, the police knew this guy. And he stopped a guy from riding on a bicycle. I mean, to me, you know who he is. He runs away. You just get him another day. There was no need to shoot him in the back.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of folks agree with you about that. And the knife issue still remains a point of contention. But, Kirk, thank you so much. And please drive safely. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to move to another topic. If you want to talk about something we've spoken about previously, please stay on. We're going to get to you. I have to absolutely, positively talk about this Dove soap controversy. Oh my goodness. I don't, Hamil, I'm going to start with you. Educate folks. What was wrong with this ad?
Well, what, Rami, again, the bottom line is this black woman who's being transformed into a white one. And again, the implication, like I said, this whole video, it's like the underground message is that, you know, white is better, black. I mean, this is what you want. I mean, like I said, it's something compared to add to with the Kendall Jenner Pepsi thing. I mean, again, it's just amazing to me what corporate America is have what is it, body wash? I mean, again. We're going back to what they had bleaching in the 40s and 50s with African Americans. Again, you know, white is right, white is power, and it's like we just dusted off our trunks and opened up stuff. I mean, all of this, we have to look at this in totality, you know, from it's this white supremacy. I never thought I would say that. You know, again, it's not like blacks don't matter, but we're not supreme. You know, okay, and even like with the NFL, you can connect the same corporate intent. Okay, we let y'all have a little protest. That's enough now. Y'all need to stand up. And again, you see this overwhelming cloud of this supremacy. And what are people going to do?
Go right ahead, Nicole.
This Dove ad, I actually was very surprised that something like this came from Dove, just because they have been really consciously, I felt like, for the last couple of years, promoting ads that showed women of all ethnicities in a very positive light. And so for them to come out with this, my question is, who was not in that boardroom that day that normally is there? Because clearly, and this is why it's also so important to have African Americans in these, you know, in corporate America involved in these decision-making processes that are going on and on these corporate boards and these creative houses with these various corporations. So you don't have these types of instances going on.
But hold on, though, because always remember, your black is not always my black. And you can't just, you know, you just can't have, you know, the black guy or the black girl in the corporate office as the sounding board for all Black America, because, you know, if you look at it, you've got, you know, the Black woman taking off her shirt, she becomes a white woman in a lighter shirt, and then you have the white woman taking off her shirt and she becomes an Asian woman. You know, somebody could say, oh, well, we got all the colors of the rainbow there. We got a Black woman, we got a redhead, and we got an Asian. We're good. But then what happens is they didn't get, you know, the history lesson,
right,
from, you know, those 19th century soap ads where you've got, you know, the mammy washing clothes and then her hands are white, or you may have, you know, the Black child, and when they use a certain kind of soap, then the child comes out white. So you need to have more sounding boards. And, you know, you can call it white supremacy, Hamil, but I will say it is at a minimum, it's ignorance.
Right.
It is, whether it's malicious or not, it's ignorance. People don't know, and they need to educate themselves. I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Nikita. We're going to talk to Regina. Marvin also, so stay with us, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're also going to talk about this Harvey Weinstein situation. Yuck. We'll be back. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. We continue our discussion at the Reporters Roundtable for this Insight segment. I want to go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Regina calling from Clinton. What's on your mind, Regina?
Hi. I have an 18 and a 19-year-old, and this situation about police totally resonates with me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. If you run up to a police that just wants to kill a Black man, they're going to find a reason. And your son, your daughter, your husband, whomever, your loved one is done, gone. So, yes, we can. I sat my son down. I've spoken to him about how to react in situations. But the bottom line is, if they run into a police that has it out for them, it's a done deal. And my guys are Eagle Scouts in college, doing very well. Probably not likely to get into a situation, but I still believe it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
So what I say is, in our communities, where are we holding our politicians? Like, I live in Clinton. I've got a ton of politicians. Where does our community work together to hold them accountable, to hold the police department accountable for what happens in our community? Where's the accountability? We don't ask for it. We don't demand it enough.
Okay. Regina?
Why don't we have enough people in our justice system, in our legal system? Why don't we have the judges that are making the decision on, there are cops that have lied. And it came to the media that they lied in these situations with these shootings, and they still were found not guilty.
Yeah, Regina, thank you so much. I appreciate your input, and certainly that debate continues. Let me go to Marvin. Marvin calling from Waldorf. What's on your mind, Marvin?
Hey, good evening, Harold. And,
hey.
Good evening to your guests, and thank you for taking my call. I know you've gone on to the Dove. And
no, help yourself. But, no, whatever you want to talk. Go ahead.
All right, cool. I just want to go back to the Jemele Hill and the whole national anthem protest and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this for your panel. Their history is better than mine. But, you know, my concern with Jemele Hill, I feel sorry for her. I don't like what happened. I would like to have seen more like Michael did on the day when it happened. He protested by not showing up. That was his way of protesting what she did because he felt it was wrong. And it's just so sad that other Black sports journalists won't do the same thing. They won't stand up with her. We don't hear no outcry from a Black leaders or anything when it comes to the silencing of us when it comes to the First Amendment. And that's the sad part. And, you know, here's your panel can chime in on this part. They probably got a better understanding of history than I do. But it just seems like more and more and more First Amendment free speech and dissident reaction or voices are being silenced.
Right.
And that's something that reminds me of other countries like Korea, China, you know, the old Russian Guard. The first thing they did was take away First Amendment rights. Mm-hmm. They silenced those people.
Mm-hmm.
And this word, patriotism, I think you can substitute it in some places for nationalism. And I think, you know, I'm not the smartest man in the room, but it seems like that's what Trump is aiming for, this swell of nationalism. They hide behind the word patriotism, but it's more like nationalism. It's like, if you ain't standing for a flag, you ain't in us. You're not patriotic. It's like, what's next?
Yeah.
Start picking the people out and start, you know, get them out of country. So I just want to hear from them, like, what more, why don't we hear from the other voices standing up from Jamil and voices crying out saying, you know, this attack on the First Amendment, right?
Let's go to Jamil. You know, Al Sharpton did comment today, Jamil, but go ahead and respond to what Marvin was saying.
Thank you so much. First of all, this is what I call a reawakening of African Americans. We have, you know, it's like when President Obama was in the White House, we had this great celebratory, you know, we thought we were the zenith of things, and how quick we can fall into the valley of discontent. But what I see now is, again, we're having discussions like we never had before, and we realize how deep-rooted racism and supremacy are. I wish Dr. Frances Perez Welsing was still here, because she would explain this whole thing. But we see something, and what's happening is the generation from 20 to 30 are seeing what we, like I said, what we saw before. So going forward, I think now we're going to have more serious discussions, mobilization, and really focus on what we can do. Because we would never go back, Harold, where we were. But we're not where we want to be. Mm-hmm. And I think this awakening, and again, I just think that at the end, we will overcome. We are talking. We are fired up. I was an Eagle Scout, but my mama said you need to be an Eagle Scout in the 70s to overcome people treating you wrong. But like that mother called. Again, we're going to do better, but this is just a wake-up check right now.
Nicole?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be nice to see more of her co-workers and other journalists really speak out about what ESPN is doing. I mean, some folks did speak out, like you said, Michael Smith and a few others. But I think there's also the fear of retaliation, you know, if they speak out, fear for their jobs. I'm not saying that that's right, but I think that's what's going on. You know, once again, as I call him, the bullier in chief, if, you know, more people speak out, then it just causes him to just react more and more and more. And so how do you deal with a bully? You know, that's a whole different subject right there. But
Marvin, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Nikita calling from Maryland. What's on your mind? Nikita, are you there? Give me a call back if you can. Let us move on to the Harvey Weinstein situation. If you didn't hear it, this recording that was released by the New Yorker magazine, part of a 10-month investigation into the allegations that Harvey Weinstein has harassed women for the better part of 30 years as a Hollywood mogul, starlets, you know, women who in front of the camera, behind the camera, and certainly Angelina Jolie came out today. Also, Gwyneth Paltrow came out today, and others. This is what the New Yorker released.
Just sit with me. Don't embarrass me in the hotel. I'm here all the time.
I know, but I don't want to.
Please sit there. Please. 1 minute.
No, I
ask
you.
Go to the bathroom.
Please, I don't want to do something I don't want
to. Go to the bathroom. Come here. Listen to me.
I want to go downstairs.
I'm not going to do anything. You'll never see me again after this. Okay? That's it. If you don't, if you embarrass me in this hotel.
I'm not embarrassing you. It's just that I don't feel comfortable.
I mean,
that was an Italian model who was being asked by Weinstein rather forcefully to come to his hotel room. There are also allegations that came out today of rape, actually. This is bigger than Hollywood. This is bigger than the casting couch controversy, Nicole. This kind of thing can happen anywhere. It does happen anywhere. Corporate America, at you know, the neighborhood, you know, dry cleaners. It happens in you know, school systems. It happens everywhere. From, you know, from your perspective, why are we just hearing about this now? If so many people knew,
right? This is absolutely disgusting, in my opinion. And you know, in terms of this just now coming out, I feel like a lot of people should be ashamed of themselves for trying to keep this hush-hush for so many years. Apparently, this happened, I think Gwyneth Paltrow said she was 22 years old.
In the 90s.
Old. Yeah, in the 90s when she was approached by him. And, you know, people were fearful that, you know, this powerful man would ruin their careers if they would say anything. But yet he was continued by not saying anything. He was allowed to continue to be a predator, basically, to women. And we, you know, and I understand. I mean, as a woman, you know, you're, especially when you're young, you're impressionable, you're trying to make your career, you're afraid of rocking the boat. But at the same time, we have to stay strong in our convictions and say, no, this type of behavior is not acceptable. I don't care whether it's Hollywood. I don't care whether it's Wall Street. I don't care where you're at. This type of behavior, and you see time and time again, powerful men using their power to their advantage, basically to act like a predator against women. And it just has to stop. It just has to stop.
Jamil, this is the thing that I don't understand, because some of the reporting that's also come out today as it relates to Angelina Jolie and Gwyneth Paltrow. We're talking Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah, this happened when she was just starting out, but okay, that was in the 90s. If she knew it happened then, why didn't she come forward after she became one of the most powerful women in Hollywood? The other question. Hold on. Let me finish, because here's the other piece. Angelina Jolie, arguably the most powerful woman in Hollywood. What did she just help take down a warlord? Just recently. And oh, hold on. It was also reported that her then husband, Brad Pitt, confronted Harvey Weinstein. So why didn't Mr. Big Bad Brad Pitt also say something publicly? I'm confused, Jamil.
No. They are just tools. The bottom line is this is about the finance of Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, the Democratic financing machine versus the Republican machine. And it could backfire again. The Republicans were really eager about this as well, because it is a tragedy. It's sad, but this guy had been putting money in big lucrative circles for years, and people saw power. Now, who else do we know like this? What's the difference between this man and President Trump and the allegations against him? So the question is, if you open up that box, it's a whole lot of powerful people that are waiting. Oh, my God, what's next? Who else has tape? So, again, they come forward now because it's out there. I mean, but again, I think this is a tempest in a teapot, it's a tip of the iceberg. And again, where will it stop?
Well, you know, I think this is not new. As I said, we've been hearing about the casting couch situation since the golden age of Hollywood. But I think that Harvey Weinstein's defense of this.
Yeah.
Earlier, when this first came out, was just you know ludicrous, talking about, you know, he was
a product of
the times.
Right.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, if it was bad in the 50s, it's bad in 2017, and it'll be bad next year too. Anyway, Jamil Harris, thank you so much. Nicole Williams, also
thank you so much.
We also want to thank Paris Denard for spending some time with us. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, October 10th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.